The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Welcome to the offseason. Hello, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Here on CrackSidewalks.com, had a chance to read the articles that were simultaneously published on Paint Touches, Anonymous Eagle, and Crack Sidewalks. We're calling it the Super Pack, I guess, for that. PAC, Paint Touches, Anonymous Eagle, Crack Sidewalks. Somebody, I think it was Alan who threw that name out there, like, oh, yeah, that's the name. That's what we're calling it. Correct. So basically, Phil,
we named ourselves. Like, yes, it's true. We named ourselves.
It's like it's an alliance. You know,
I'm trying. It's a mutually beneficial cooperative.
It is, and so basically, this podcast is going to kind of serve as a discussion portion of that article, and just kind of hit some of the high points, and basically just Phil basically say, why was this necessary?
Right. Why did three of the longest standing blogs feel it relevant to go not only publish articles, you know, condemn is too strong a word, but publish articles questioning the Wojo era, but to do so in a cooperative fashion, right? To kind of pitch in, and because, you know, this was a collaborative writing process, and it was a collaborative effort to kind of talk about, you know, what is the state of the program? Where do the concerns lie? Is there anything that can be done about it? Because at the end of the day, no matter what opinion you have of the article or its authors or our dumb voices, right? Like, we are truly at our core fans of the program, fans of Marquette. And I don't want that to get lost in what may or may not be the discussion around kind of what we're having to say about the Wojo era. Like, we are here because we want the program to succeed and be successful and be a beacon for the university. And I think what really kind of came to a head that kind of brought us to craft this article was we feel like the university's beacon is being squandered, so to speak. The program is going in the wrong direction and for what the university wants to get out of it and achieve with it, we think we're going in the wrong direction. And if nothing else, we're hoping this is or at least I'm hoping it's a wake-up call to the fan base and perhaps those in a position to do something, that change of some sort needs to be made.
Yeah, see, I think, you know, there's a pretty vocal contingent of the fan base who is already anti-Wojo, so I think them reading that article, it's probably not going to tell them anything that they already don't know. I think it's more for really just kind of turn up the pressure a little bit, I think. Because I think there's a sense that the decision makers at Marquette are fine with it, are fine with the direction of the program, that things are okay. And I think our little contingent here, it's like these three members of the MUBB mafia, it's like three of the five families have united, and we've kind of come together and you know, basically kind of started as a group chat, I guess, during the season, where we all have our group chats with friends and family member, whoever, and this was one group chat we're all in that It's the takes we really don't want out there on Twitter, but the takes we feel like we have to make. You all have those, right? It's like, this is too mean to say on Twitter, but I'm going to say it in this chat. This sucks. That sucks. I want to guzzle bleach. Things like that, things of that nature. And we got towards the end of the season. We still get the sense that the university and the decision makers are fine with things, and we are fully aware that there are financial considerations in play here, and that is one reason why we do not anticipate any movement on Wojo. But as we see other schools make moves around the country, we kind of wonder, how long do they want to wait? and is just pushing off the inevitable 1 year even worth it? Now, are we necessarily calling for a firing now? No, because I think we're all pretty accepting that it's not happening this year.
Right.
We would be surprised if there was any kind of movement. But I think it should maybe just to turn up the heat a little bit, because I think Wojo's seat has been too icy cold for too long, right? It's just
right.
He has been so comfortable. And, you know, the people that – and also, you know, there's a certain – part of the fan base that is very vocal in their support of Wojo, right? And they think everything's fine and people need to be patient. And I personally think we were plenty patient. Patience is for the first 3 or 4 years, right? You know, the first
right.
3 or 4 years of Wojo were not great, but I think we were pretty patient for 3 or 4 years. But, you know, as we're hitting year 7 here, you know, it's like, well, how patient do we need to be, really?
Right, right. When do we expect the good times to roll in, right? And I think it's been a narrative thread that we've talked about, at least in the last year, right? We've made, you know, even in the preseason run-up or the preseason pod run-up to this season, you made mention of, you know, we've talked about the excuse. Every year there is an excuse or a reason, right? Like, we'll use the word reason to remove some of the aggressive tone of it. There are reasons why the season did not go the way we anticipated. And I think looking at the analytics, with the exception of one season, Wojo has not exceeded expectations either from coaches' polls, from analytics like KenPom. He simply has underperformed every season. And every season in isolation has a reason for why that result is what that result is. And I get those in those individual seasons, but when you start adding them together and say, let's look at the full 7-year picture, those reasons start to be either A, duplicative, or B, tiresome, right? Like the youth reason is always the first thing that comes out of anyone's mouth that is, I'll say, 100% behind the current administration, right?
Wojo simpatico.
Right. Wojo, friends of the Wojo. It is always, well, they're young. In year 7, why are they still young? And if they are young, that's fine in year 7 if that young is also talent that performs, right? Like, I think one of the key takeaways in the article, and you can call it a stat if you want, but keep in mind, Wojo had one season where he finished second in the Big East. With all that being said, his team's average finish in the Big East, when the Big East has been maybe the third or fourth most difficult conference in the country, his average finish in the Big East is 6.4. So he is finishing sixth or lower on average in the Big East. Is that what Marquette's paying for?
Right. You know, those who are defending Wojo, especially this year, say, well, this is a year where we're rebuilding, man. You know, we lost Marcus Howard. Sakar Anum graduated, and Brendan Bailey decided to go wherever he went. And so they just had to replace a lot. So their young year, this year was a fluke. It'll be fine next year. Here's the 7-year sample size of finishes in the Big East. 7 years. Starting in 2015. Tied for 9th, 7th, a 4-way tie for 3rd, tied for 6th, 2nd, tied for 6th, 9th. So again, 9th, 7th, 3rd, 6th, 2nd, 6th, 9th. So if that's your 7-year sample size, which one's the fluke?
Right. Which one of these is not like the other one?
Right. You know, there is a 4-way tie for 3rd. They were 10-8 that year, and they finished with 4 other teams tied for 3rd. They actually got the 4 seed in the Big East tournament. So you've got a 3rd and a 2nd there that you can – that are – I mean, 3rd and 2nd, those are good. But, you know, again, if you're going to pick out a fluke, which one is the fluke? I think the 2nd is the fluke.
Right. And the argument, again, that hey, it's a rebuilding year, and you know, it's just tough – why is it a rebuilding year? Because key players left, like Sam Hauser and Joey Hauser, right? No doubting. Built a top 15 team in 2019, right? That team, I think, peaked. What was the peak rating? It was probably 11, 10, something like that, after after the Providence win. But that team went on, one, Marcus Howard was clearly injured, chose to play him anyway. So that team crashed out of winning the Big East, right? Lost 6 of 7. Crashed out of the Big East tournament. Well, no, I take that back. Played Seton Hall in the semis, and that was the Miles Powell, he's thrown out of the game. Oh, wait, no, maybe we didn't mean it game. So had some success in the Big East tournament, and then played, got a 5 seed, and was embarrassed by Ja Morant and Murray State. And then a month later, the Hauser brothers left a team that was projected to be a top 10 team, of which they were going to get significant minutes, right? That was not necessarily an inherently basketball decision. And see, that's where I, like, you talk about being patient. That's where I started to kind of turn a little bit. I was an avid Wojo supporter through 2019. We've even talked about how, you know, optimistic Phil, right? Through 2020, even after the Hausers left, I had inklings of concern, but in 2020 it was, all right, we're on the right course. And yes, they would have gotten an NCAA bid last year. And we should get credit for 3 out of 7 years getting right. An NCAA bid. Perfectly fair to state that. But by the time that season was over, COVID aside, I had zero confidence that they were going to do anything good with that bid. First of all, that was going to be a sub-8 bid, right? So they were going to be underdogs from a bracketing standpoint. And there's no evidence that they would succeed with that bid, no matter what, because they were the better seed in the two previous attempts and were embarrassed both times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the two people who I over the past 2 years, who I, you know, talk about Marquette with the most, you know, who were defending Wojo were you and Allen.
Right.
And you two were defending him into last year. And when Wojo lost you, both of you, I think Wojo lost both of you the same weekend. And
yeah. Like,
and I forget which game. I think I can look at the schedule real quick. But whatever game it was there a late season DePaul? Yeah, the late season DePaul lost last year.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. You were both out that weekend. And I thought, well, Wojo lost Allen and Phil. I'm on the right side of this. But, you know, to the people who still defend Wojo, and, you know, I've had some discussions on social media with people. I think after the season ended, I was going back and forth with some people that I just needed it for therapeutic reasons. But it was good for me to hear the other side of it before we, you know, publish this article and do this podcast. But for the people who do still defend Wojo, honest them into a team that was so close to a Big East championship, and then those darned Hauser kids left and ruined things, so we got to be patient with him again, and he's going to get it right back there. Because I think that's where a lot of those people are coming from. They said he took 5 years, he built it up, it was really close, he had a preseason top 5 team, and then those two
right.
kids left, and then, you know, it was Hausergeddon. And so, we should have another 4 or 5 year waiting period before we judge him again. But I think that's
starting
something
over.
That we want
yeah.
to dive into, maybe a little on this pause, but we definitely did in that article, is the numbers that reflect the underlying problems why he's probably not going to build it back up in 4 or 5 years. Or why we think, well, you know, I can certainly concede that we could be way off here and maybe he could turn it around real quick and take us to a Final Four 2-3 years and we'll all look stupid. That'd be awesome. But I'm not counting
yeah.
on it, because in that article, Phil, we go through so many numbers about the defense, about the numbers on his team,
yeah.
the efficiency relative to the other teams in the Big East are not up to snuff, and how most other teams in the Big East seem to be passing him by. And yeah, 2019 was good overall. So, you know, the collapse, the ending was unfortunate, but overall, as far as getting the seed they got in the tournament and the number of games they won, 2019 was great. And I understand if you want to give Wojo a pass and take him, you know, not give him a pass, but give him a little bit of a grace period on the Hausers leaving and take his side and say the Hausers ruined us. So we got to give Wojo some time to build this thing back up. But Phil, that article, if you want to dive into it and all those numbers, there are trends and stats in there that reflect that Wojo's issues are much more than two players leaving.
Right. And I mean, to do, and that you're absolutely right. There are people that are maintaining their level of support for Wojo in two ways. One, they kind of, I think, view, hey, look, stuff outside of his control. The Hauser's leaving. That wasn't in his control. And we can argue till the cows come home whether it was or it wasn't. But I think that's the mental gymnastics being done there. And then, hey, look, last year the season was canceled. We lost Marcus. You've now got COVID, right? Like, so again, the reasons can be stacked up. There is a articulation of the reasons. But once you dig below the surface and look at, like, the actual way the team performs, if you look at the stats, I mean, the big glaring one that we've harped on Twitter over and over again is Wojo. At this point, it is 100% intentional. Wojo does not believe in creating or preventing turnovers. He may give lip service to it in interviews saying, well, we need to do less turnovers. But the product on the floor is not saying that. And that active ignoring of a critical portion of the game can be directly attributed to the results we're seeing. And so I think that's the thing that really, for me, you know, prompted my turning on Wojo, if you will, is I am not a basketball savant, right? Like, I really enjoy the game. I've played it my whole life at a recreational level. I've watched it my whole life, right? I have an amateur status in X's and O's. But I understand data, I understand the results, and I understand what I see with my eyes. And I draw the conclusion that whatever Wojo is doing, he has been doing for his full 7 years, and he has not changed, right? He has not adjusted. He is not looking at what players do I have and doing something different. He is jamming the same strategy, the same concepts into the, you know, he's taking the square peg and jamming it in the round hole. And it's getting to the point where that's just not going to work anymore. And for me, again, it comes down to either Wojo's approach and strategy and, you know, the coaching staff needs to change and adjust to what we're seeing, right? And we're not saying we're 100% right, but, like, the evidence is overwhelming that whatever he's doing isn't working. So some sort of change needs to be made. If the change is a whole new coaching staff, okay, that's an approach. If the change is, hey, look, let's bring some analysis or analytics into this. Let's start changing up our style and approach. Let's start, you know, adjusting to what players we have on the roster. That's fine too. But the bottom line is there is nothing you can look at in what we presented in that article and go, no, none of that is reflective of what we're seeing on the court, right? Like, the evidence to me, if this were a court of law, it would be guilty, hasn't coached very well.
A good offense. And another, Wojo is too young to let the game pass him by analytically. You know, no one has come out and said this, but I think there is plenty of evidence that Wojo is not a big analytics guy. Is that a fair guess to make that he?
I think that is part of the evidence. Is there is zero evidence that he has any concern about anything
and
over
Wojo is too young to be. He's only 44. Turns 45 later this year. Like, it's not like he's some 70-year-old coach who's stuck in his ways that worked back in the 70s. It's like, oh, we've always done it this way. This is fine, right? You know, like. He's
right.
You know, a young guy as far as, you know, comparing him to other coaches around college basketball. He's a young guy. He should be able to be up with the trends and up with the way the game is going, because if things go well for him, he's probably going to be another coach for another 20 years. And so he should be up on things and evolve as the game is evolving. And he should, you know, be able to I grant, you know, I certainly am not an analytic savant, but I know there are plenty of guys in this game who are, and a lot of them are doing very well, and they have a leg up over their opponents because they have all this advanced data that can help them evaluate their roster, see what they're doing wrong, see the lineups that work, see the lineups that don't work, and see the trends and see the flaws in your performance and say, look, we're not a good offensive rebounding team. We need to recruit a good rebounder, or, you know, we are very poor in turnovers. We should look at that, and if that feeds into the analytics, that may give us a few extra, you know, quality possessions per game on both ends of the floor, and that can result in a few more wins. And I just think, yeah, if it is true that Wojo is not a big analytics guy, my question is, why not? Like, do you want to? And like, it's not like he doesn't have the resources. You know, he's not coaching at a one big league, man. He's in the Big East, a program that likes to boast that it spends as much as any other program out there. But, you know, and that's part of the frustration, right, too. I mean, what's the point of spending like Kansas if the results are more like Kansas State? You know, there should be results that go along with that kind of spending, and he has the resources at his disposal. He plays in an NBA arena. So, you know, all the gizmos and the cameras and tracking that the NBA teams use, he has that at his disposal if they want to pay, which they want to make use for it, and they should. So that's just another thing that's frustrating to me, is that I think the game may be passing Wojo by, and he is way too young of a man for that to be the case.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one thing we need to make clear, at no point are we saying, hey, we're smarter than Wojo, or we know more about basketball than Wojo, right? Like that. But what we can do is look at the analytics and say, look, against set defenses, you know, Marquette has a shooting percentage or an effective field goal percentage, 10 points lower than when they're running against an unset defense, right? So if they're on the fast break. And I can look at the tempo that Marquette plays at and see they're in the bottom third of all of college basketball in terms of pace, right? I can look at those pieces of information and say, huh, if we're going slow and we're worse against set defenses, maybe we should go faster and go against unset defenses. Now, can I tell you with X's and O's and strategery and all this stuff that how you get to that faster pace and get against those unset defenses? No, because if I could, I would be trying to do that as a career, right? So, like, that's the thing. We can see there's a problem. We're not arrogant enough to think that we can solve the problem, but we want to advocate to care that there is a problem, right? Within the program, and the message coming out of the administration is, we've had a bad year. Other than that, everything's fine, right? That is the general perception, either through, you know, social media channels or things folks have said in press conferences. The general impression is, things are okay. And clearly from a basketball sense, they aren't. So we're trying to draw attention to the basketball side of things to say, things aren't good. We might want to address this. And then it's up to the administration to say, this is how we're going to address it, right? We're going to ask Wojo to change style. We're, you know, Dwayne Killings, I'll get there eventually. We should congratulate him. Got a good new job, head coach of Albany. I think that's a loss for Marquette's staff, right? I think DK was a great addition after Stan Johnson left. But there's an open spot in the staff. You know, does Wojo change up his approach, or does he continue to bring in young coaches that are, you know, are destined to leave in a year or two or three to go on to be head coaches themselves? There's no doubt Wojo is producing eventual head coaches out of his roster of assistants. But is the status quo, given the results we've seen over 7 years, is this something we want to keep doing? And I think that's kind of the core of the article.
Nobody is saying this stuff is easy. You know, no one's saying we could do it. You know,
right.
But we are saying if we're going to spend $2 million on a head coach, we should make sure that head coach is good at it. And we're just not convinced that Wojo is. And to your point about the assistant coach job opening, yeah, you know, congrats to Coach Killings. Hope he does well at Albany. It's a great opportunity for him. And we certainly, you can always congratulate and understand when an assistant coach gets that first head coaching opportunity. I hope he does very well there. But it is an opportunity for Wojo to add someone to his staff. And to your point, I think most of us would be concerned that he is going to get another yes man who's going to do whatever he wants to, you know, whatever Wojo wants and just buy into whatever's been working. Whereas I think maybe kind of a something we would like to see is for Wojo to be a little more bold and hire someone who's going to challenge him. Someone who's not necessarily going to butt heads with him, right, but who's someone who just might stand up in a meeting and say, Coach, this sucks. You know, like, this is not a good way to do this. Here's another way to do this, and here are the numbers that back up why this would be a good way to do this. You know, like I noticed we're running our offense oftentimes through our fifth best offensive option on the floor. I love going to the post every now and then, but, you know, when it's your fifth best offensive player, maybe we should try some other things and see if it leads to better baskets. Things like that, right? It's just a person who studies the analytics and can do the work that maybe, you know, would be new to Wojo and maybe some of the other members of the staff, but could bring that extra mind, a different way of thinking, a different way of looking at basketball that is maybe a little more with the times and the way the game is evolving. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, and to that point, I mean, again, nobody's perfect, right? Nobody, the expectation is not that, you know, that Wojo shows up fully formed and is absolutely perfect from the get-go. But if Wojo's going to learn on the job and try and be successful, there also has to your point, from a young coach, there has to be adaptation, right? And outside of a Marcus Howard powered offense, even the offense, which should be Marquette's calling card based on, you know, what we've seen in 7 years, I don't have any confidence that a non-Marcus offense can be successful in the Wojo style, right? We've seen no evidence that anything other than a once in a generation scorer can power this offense. And if we don't get that, you know, Marcus Howard 2.0 isn't walking through the door, well, then we've got to adapt. We've got to overcome. We've got to evolve. But everything I see about Wojo is there is zero adaptation. It's neither in a grand strategic sense how you approach the overall game and how you construct the roster. I don't see any adaptation within the game itself in terms of making a, you know, how long have we made Twitter jokes about second half adjustments? You know, that it's just fundamentally missing, right?
It seems like it's a weekly thing. We joke about we didn't come out with the energy we needed to in the second half. Well, you didn't do that any of the other weeks either. It's something we've kind of gotten used to.
Right. I kind of anticipated you weren't going to come out with energy because that's a thing that happened. Like, in fact, when they do come out with energy,
like,
that's notable because it's unusual. Right. And again, I don't think we want to carry on too long or over belabor the point because I think the article speaks for itself in terms of the information. But I think for me, I really wanted to articulate, look, I am a huge fan of the program. I'm a huge fan of the university. I want nothing but success. And if honestly, and the other part of this is, look, 70% of the job Wojo is being asked to do, he's doing a great job at, right? He's bringing in quality players. He's bringing in quality human beings, right? The program is being run as far as we can tell, quite clean. It's a model of ethical standards within college basketball. As far as I can tell, he's a great guy, right? And I'm sure he's probably a good hang, right? So 70% of the job is in good hands. It's the 30%, which, quite frankly, if winning isn't a big part of what we're here to do, then why are we spending like it is, right? To your point about the money, like, if winning doesn't matter, And we're not saying, hey, let's go drop some bags in Titus and Tate fashion, right? But like, if winning doesn't matter to us, then let's adjust everyone's expectations. Let's adjust our spending. Let's adjust our approach. If the expectations are a clean program, good guy, raising good people, and we compete for an NCAA bid every couple of years, then let's call that out. So I can spend a little less time worrying about Marquette basketball, right? Like let's just set the expectations right. And I think it's fair to say, in closing, Wojo has not met the expectations of the program. If the expectations need to adjust to be comfortable for Wojo, so be it. But my position is, we got to do something different because we aren't meeting the expectations. And that different could be any number of things, from coaching staff changes to dismissal of Wojo. Whatever it is, somebody's got to make the call. How are we going to do something different than we've done the last 7 years? Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. At this point, I've seen enough. There are no expectations of different results without change in the Wojo.
This isn't personal. It's just business. And unfortunately, as much as we try to deny it,
right,
college basketball is a business. And the currency to stay relevant in this business is winning, and Wojo does not do enough of it. You said he's doing 70% of the job, and I think that's part of the problem, is that they're looking at it that way, that it's 70% of the job. That, hey, if he's doing that 70% right, he's worth keeping. But it's like, yeah, there's like, you know, 100 things he needs to do, and maybe, you know, 70 of them he does right, but those other 30% account for like 60% of the grade, right? It's like
right.
Well, you know, it's like you have a class where the final exam is 50% of the grade. Well, if you did everything well all semester, but you tank the final, that's kind of a problem. And that's the most important part of the job he's not getting done. And you mentioned Titus and Tate a second ago, to steal one of their phrases. Yes, Wojo is a good guy. He is a good guy. Seems like a really nice man who recruits quality young men. Players graduate. Seems likable around the campus, and by all accounts, is a good family man as well. It's nothing personal against him. It's just business, and the business is winning in basketball, and he's failing in that regard. And that is what the whole article is about. Is business needs to pick up. Either Wojo needs to change, or the university needs to make a change, and that's where we are.
Amen. I'll applaud that closing statement. I think you said it.
We've said plenty. I encourage all of you to go to any of the three, either Crack Sidewalks.
Pick your favorite.
Anonymous Eagle, of course, the favorite should be Crack Sidewalks, and that's us. But Crack Sidewalks, Anonymous Eagle, or Paint Touches, same articles on all three of them. Get the clicks out there. Leave your comments, if comments are allowed. Give us your feedback. Hit us up on Twitter, because we're always going to be on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23 at Crack Sidewalks is a team handle. Also, shout out at Anonymous Eagle, at Paint Touches. Respond to them too. Get everybody in on the conversation. We also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. Leave comments there. And of course, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Folks, we're entering the offseason. We'll probably talk more about the team itself and how it's going to evolve. We just wanted to start this conversation now. I just basically, like I said, we don't expect any change as far as the head coach this offseason, but we could be shocked. Hey, this may be the ultimate podcast jinx, right? But
right.
We don't expect a change now, but we want some type of change. And if nothing else, at the very least, Steve Wojciechowski should be coaching for his job in 21-22. I think that is the bare minimum to ask. So I think that's where we are. Anything else you want to leave with, Phil?
Nope. I think you summed it all. Let's get out of here. Let's leave this as a bite-sized morsel of a pod, and we'll follow up, and everyone enjoy March Madness.
Enjoy March Madness, and hopefully Marquette will be in it again someday. Until then, seashells and balloons, everybody.